Lay.
Sir.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kane is in the building.
Yeah. Alright, already the show goes on all night. Till the morning we dream so long. Anybody ever wonder when they would see the thunder? Just remember when you come up. The show goes on.
And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Always Pressing PGA DFS podcast. We'll be previewing the 2023 Charles Schwab Challenge at the Colonial Country Club. A lot of course history and event history there, so we'll get to that in a minute. We're going to recap some PGA Championship as well. You can find me on Twitter at BDentric, the podcast at Always Press DFS, and my co-host is always on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods. Jesse, how are we doing, my friend?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Another weekend in the books, a busy weekend. Sound like you had a busy weekend as well, so it was good. But PGA Championship, thoughts?
Yeah. I mean, I guess in hindsight, obviously, should have seen it kind of coming with Brooks after the good performance at the Masters. But it's just so hard to judge not watching guys week in and week out. I was wrong about Scotty. Obviously, it didn't matter about his putter. He finished second. And then, Vic Hovland. I mean, dude's he might – might be this year's, like, the 2015 Ricky, where he top tens everything and major wise. I was saying before we started, I didn't get to watch much of it. I did watch a lot Saturday morning and Sunday morning. And the conditions were just fucking brutal on Saturday morning, man. I did not envy those guys at all being out there in that shit.
The weather on Saturday was nuts. And I can't remember. Oh, it was Aaron Fleener's a great Twitter follower. He's the caddy for JT Poston. He said, because like the first tee and the 14th tee shared a tee box. And so he said, like, there is like, I think JT and Max played that day together or something. And they were walking to the first tee, and it was some other group, like Rahm and Spieth or someone coming through. And Aaron started laughing and joking with the caddies that he knew. And he says, funny thing is, when we got to 14, we felt the same way the other guys did. And we're like, this is miserable. This is absolutely miserable. Cold and wet. And it was almost like the afternoon guys actually had it better because it was less rain, if that made sense.
Right.
Like there was moments of like good weather, and like they had their jackets off and they were playing golf. Like Brooks talks about, it went through like four seasons out there. It was cold and wet, then it was just wet, then it was hot and sweaty, and it was just all over the board. So that made it interesting. It was just it's a good golf course, and like a lot of the players thought, like Lowry and those guys were talking it up, just because it ate your lunch if you played bad, but if you played well, you had chances. So that's why it's weird. Like you see Rombo shoots like six over or something, Spieth's through the moon. Some big dogs don't even make the cut. Then you have on the flip side, like you said, Scotty and Brooks doing their thing at the same time. Vic's there and Bryson, and you got a PGA club pro competing for stuff. And did you happen to see the replay of his hole in one?
I did. Yeah, that was pretty fucking awesome.
Dunked it, and that basically got him into next year. That was pretty wild stuff. Like, it's I kept seeing his name on the leaderboard like on Thursday on the app, and I'm like, okay, whatever, like he'll be gone soon. He never left. Yeah. Like every time he'd have like three bogeys, he'd have three birdies. It was fun to watch. Like there was a point where I'm like, can you show like some emotion besides like holy crap, like once, just be like, show a little cockiness or something. But I don't know, like it was, I guess he was in a weird moment. I'll never be there, but
I kind of felt like he overplayed that aspect. Like I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, because like the it same thing, he'd make every putt, every putt would be like, oh, look what I did. Like, holy shit, I made a putt. It's like, you've been making putts for 4 days, dude. Like,
not to mention, you're still a professional golfer.
Yeah.
It's not like, I mean, I know he was like 35th 100 in the world or whatever. He hadn't made, I was looking back today because we'll talk about him this week. He's in the tournament this week. They got him at $6,900.
Stupid. It's insane.
And that's coming off of, he's made one out of three cuts he's played, and the one cut was this week. I mean, I get it. It's a cool story. It's obviously when's the last time? I don't ever remember, as long as I've been following golf, a pro, that high, that like just a regular teaching pro, club pro, whatever, being that high up the leaderboard.
I don't remember it at all. That's why
I think it was like first time since like 83 or something.
We talked about it on the show last week. Like, you can cross 20 guys off the list. Like,
yeah. Right, just cross, yeah. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. And so cool story. I don't know, man. I mean, I'm with you. I feel like some of it was a little bit overdone. I mean,
yeah,
like people calling for him to be getting exemption into all four majors and shit like that. Yeah, like,
get out of the way. Come on.
Well, the thing is like there's an AM every year at the most every year at the Masters that, you know, kind of pops a little bit like that. They usually kind of fall off on Sunday because they're most of the time they're younger and, you know, more susceptible probably to the mental aspect of the game. But either way, I mean, like nobody was calling for Bryson DeChambeau to, you know, when he made the cut at the Masters to get an exemption.
I feel you. That's kind of what I was relating it to. Cause yeah, there's always in the Masters, it seems like there's like that one AM that makes a good run, kind of falls off.
US Open, we see it too, usually.
Oh, yeah. You know? That's true. Good point. And it's
Bo Hostler a couple years ago, you know?
It's the same thing. Like, okay, congratulations, not earn your PGA card type thing. Like,
yeah.
cool story, bro. But this sounds bad. Like we're piling on Block, which we're not. Like, it was an awesome story. It was fun to watch. It was freaking awesome to watch. Like, I'm looking forward to seeing what he does this week. But it's like you said,
Especially at hole-in-one. That hole-in-one, I mean,
was nuts. Like, he dunked it. It wasn't
that,
even
that crowd reaction. It doesn't get any better than that.
Rory's, and the cool part was the way Rory like enjoyed his time with him. Rosie on Saturday, you could see it a lot. Rosie was like high-fiving him and talking to him all the time. Like, the pros don't have to do that. They could be like, this guy's like in my way. It's like a pro end to them and freaking like, get out of the way, dude. But he was proving he belonged, and it was cool to see. And I'm looking forward. Like, I'm rooting for him. I want him to do well. But like, this week's an invitational. He took one of the 120 spots of a potential guy. It's interesting. He's already in the next year's PGA. If he would have finished,
got invited to the Canadian Open as well.
Yeah, he got invited to the RBC Canadian. Like you said, he missed people out. I bet you don't know. He missed the cut at the Amex and the Farmers this year.
Yeah.
And he played the Farmers last year and missed the cut. So he's had chances before. And so, again, it sounds bad that we're like dunking on him, but it was awesome to see the $6,900 part. Like, I even tweeted it out. I'm like, come on, this ain't right. Like, you said, he was 3,500th in the world or whatever. He moved up to top 500. It's still not $6,900. Like, let's be real about this.
He should be $6,200. I mean, the only thing I can think is like his odds. I'm sure his odds are really ridiculous on DraftKings because
people will pay for it. They're going to be like all hyped up on it,
and that's what they go off of mostly. And you know, I mean, whatever.
Yeah. So I didn't plan on coming to dunk on, but you kind of feel this. You felt the same way I did. I think
I did.
We talked about it. Yeah. Like,
and I haven't expressed it much. I don't know if you watched or if you listened to No Laying Up, but they were kind of the same way we are. Like, come on, man. Like,
I think I've heard that from a few people. Like, I listened to part of my take because they had Brooks on. They had Brooks on Tuesday, and then he said if he wanted to have him on, so he came on. They were drinking beers out of the club, like having all his boys. And, like, he talked about, like, congratulating Block, because I don't know if you saw it. Like, you probably didn't. When Block congratulated Brooks when he came off the 18th green, and Brooks whispers, but he didn't whisper because you could hear on the mic, drinks are on you, buddy. Because he got the hole-in-one. It was pretty funny. But the dude won 200K. Probably hasn't done that in a long time.
Yeah, almost 300K. Yeah, I mean, it was obviously an epic week.
So like I said, I'm rooting for him. Like, prove us wrong. That'd be awesome. Prove us wrong.
Right.
But it's like you've failed multiple times on some of the easiest stages. Like, I'm not holding my breath here. Especially, like, I was thinking about this actually probably Saturday when I was watching it. Or maybe Sunday. I think it was Saturday. When you see some of the best can't make the cut, they're shooting 12 over par, all this stuff. Like, how do we're not going to walk away and go, these guys suck now. So why should we say Block all of a sudden is great now?
Right.
That's kind of where I was like at on this one.
Yeah. I mean, I saw a tweet that, you know, like just listen to all these people that he beat, like, you know, Rahm, and he beat Rahm by six. Okay. Well, I mean, it's golf. Literally, he could go beat Rahm any day of the week, but 9 times out of 10, Rahm's going to beat him.
How much should Rahm beat him by at the Amex on the Farmers?
Right. Sure. You know, I mean, it's just overreaction, you know, typical Twitter bullshit. So, but yeah, I'm interested to see what happens this week. But yeah, congrats to Brooks.
Yeah, Brooksy.
Brooks actually won the tournament. BDB. More talk about Michael Block.
I think Brooks likes it that way, though. Like, they'll talk about him. I mean, we're good. This is good.
I mean, that's fine. What do you think about his thoughts now about leaving the tour? I mean, do you think he's still fine, or do you think he's probably pissed off? Have you heard
He's pissed off. He's kind of, like, hinted around about it already, because even, like, putting the Netflix doc and, like, there's other little stories that have come out, rumors, and who knows how many of them are true. But he's a smart guy, so I'm guaranteeing some of them are true. They got them leaked on purpose. He did it because he didn't think he could play again. I can't blame him in that regard. You're giving me $100 million. So I don't think I can ever play golf again.
Yeah. I mean, it was hard to pass the money up there. But you know, I mean, you had to think, you know, I mean, I know it's, you get to a low, sometimes you get low point golf, but he's been injured. He was injured. So it's just bizarre to me that he took that route still.
I think we're like 3 to 4 years away from some kind of, we're going to work together on this thing, because I don't know. Like they're going to be stubborn about it for a long time. I'm not going to play dumb with that, but every time we have a major now, we see how great this golf is. There's got to be a way to get it more than four times a year. And eventually we're not going to get it four times a year, 'cause all these guys won't qualify anymore.
Yeah. Well, Brooks will probably,
well, Brooks will, like some of these dudes, like Bryson will. Bryson's already allowed into the Masters now. Plus like Cam will, the big dogs will, don't get me wrong, but
yeah.
Wouldn't you have liked to have seen, I know probably not, but just, you know, Taylor Gooch, Matthew Wolf, like I'd like to see these guys out there. Like these young guys that were close to being something good.
Yeah. Wasn't Gooch playing?
Well, maybe. Yeah, man. Yeah,
he did. He missed the cut. He shot in over.
Like Matt Wolf, because Michael Kim called him out on freaking Twitter. Mike Kim has become an entertaining follow. Like that boy, for a couple top tens, all of a sudden got Twitter presence. Yeah, he literally tweeted out, like, on Saturday afternoon, I wonder what Michael Wolf's thinking about right now. Do you think he made the right decision as he sits at home and watches this? I was like, holy shit. Oh, it was good. It was good. But yeah, I don't know. I love seeing Brooks win. Like, people listen to the show enough know my thoughts on Brooks. Like, I'm a big Brooks fan. And it was cool to see him actually get kind of emotional about it. Like, he, fifth majors, only 20th to ever do so. Like, all the, and he talked deep about it, like, later on in other interviews about when, like, he looked up at his caddy after the putt went in and realized, like, this dude was by me when I didn't think I could play golf. Like, all, like, this whole list of things. 'Cause, like you said, you get a low point in golf or anything you do, you think you can't do it again. Right. To go on the biggest of stages and almost win the Masters and then come and win this, it's like, it's pretty cool. Pretty cool deal. So, yeah, we probably talked about this enough, but it was fun. I love majors. And I love majors that aren't just complete shit shows. So that was fun. Like, it was a shit show, but not a complete shit show.
Right. So, now, the golf course was good and fair, I feel like. Yeah. That rough was gnarly, though, especially once it got wet. I mean, good Lord.
Oh, it reminded me of Harding Park and gave me flashbacks. Like, no, it was no fairway, and you used the thickest of rough, and you were basically just screwed. And I guess I keep saying the last thing, but I don't know if you saw it. Gino Benelli, the caddy for Dahman.
What did he shoot today?
He shot 85 on the Denver. He shot great. He shot 40 on the back. But I was reading this play-by-play of it, and it's freaking great, dude. It's just, and it goes to show you, he's like almost a scratch. He's like a plus 0.7 or something.
Yeah, it was a plus 0.1, I think. Yeah,
0.1. And so he's going to scratch, and he shot an 85, and he said it was just torture. He's just absolute torture.
It
goes to show you these guys that did play well. Like, it's freaking pretty freaking wild. All right, let's get to the Charles Schwab, because before you know it, we have an Elevated event next week. We have another major in like three or four weeks. Like, we're going to be just – Mayo laid out the schedule on his latest show. I'm like, Jesus Christ. Some of these guys aren't going to take a day off for a while. It's going to get gnarly.
Yeah.
So Charles Schwab, which is an invitation, like I said, 120-ish golfers, T65, and ties make the cut. So what do you have some past event history for us?
Yeah, used to be called Colonial, right?
Yes, it's Charles Schwab Challenge at the Colonial Country Club is what they're calling this.
Remember when it was called Dean and DeLuca?
Oh, yeah. This one has had like seven names, hasn't it? It's been all over the board. And didn't it used to be closer to the fall than in the middle of the year? For some reason, I was thinking, maybe I'm wrong. Could be wrong.
I don't know. I just remember whenever I was writing for you, whenever I wrote about Dean and DeLuca.
I can't even tell you what Dean and DeLuca is right now. No, I think about it.
I couldn't either, and I wrote about it five, 6 years ago.
It's kind of like an insurance firm.
I've been played at this golf course for a long, long time. Last year's winner was Sam Burns, 9-under in a playoff over Scotty Scheffler. 2021 was Jason Kokrak, 14-under, two shots over Jordan Spieth. 2020 was Daniel Berger. Speaking of which, man, where's fucking Daniel Berger at?
Yeah, he's going to be on that Anthony Kim train pretty soon.
15-under playoff over Colin Morikawa. 2019, Kevin Na, 13-under, four shots over Tony Finau. Justin Rose, 20-under in 2018, three shots over Brooks. Kevin Kisner's past champion. Jordan Spieth has won this in the past. Chris Kirk. Adam Scott. I mean, there's a lot of big names that have won this tournament, and a lot of big names who show up. You know, if you look at like second places, Scotty, Jordan, Colin, Tony, Brooks, all guys you know in the last 4 years by first name.
Yep. So it says a lot. It's a great course. Just based on the names Jesse mentioned and the scores alone, if you hit the right shots, you're going to score. Otherwise, it's a challenge. It's a tree line fairways. It's an approach golf course. It's not long. It's a par 70, just around 7,200 yards. Like I said, very tree lined. You need to, like, it's less than driver on most holes, because I believe it's 9 of the 12 par fours are about 430 or less, give or take. So they're not long by any means. The greens are rather small, but if you're, you know, hitting them well, you got a wedge shot. Most approach shots come from like 125 to 150. You'll get some even shorter, depending on how you play that one out. It's a really good golf course that, as I heard, something like, stands the test of time, because it makes sense when you can't just bombs away type thing. And it brings all golfers into the field, which is a lot of fun. Like if Kisner can win a golf course, the same golf course that some of the bombers you mentioned can win it, that says a lot right there. That's all you need to know about this situation. And I think it's going to be a fun one again. You mentioned the cream usually rises to the top here, but, you know, what the heck? You mentioned his name in 2019.
Kevin
Na. Kevin Na won, and he's good. Don't get me wrong. But, like, to have Kevin Na with those other names you mentioned, right, says a lot to has won this event. So I'm not going to get too deep into the woods on this course. It's literally a lot of, you know, driving accuracy. You need to be hitting out of the fairway. Otherwise, you will be in the trees, like I said. Serious approach game. And so greens and regulation will be very, very important. And bogey avoidance, because, you know, Rosie won at 20, but more often than not, it's like the 12 to 14 range. So it's kind of like, you know, be 3 or 4 under each day and you'll have a chance. So just don't screw it up is what it comes down to. And you'll be good. So it's a fun course. What's your thoughts on stuff there?
Yeah, I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head there. It's a lot of accuracy and par 70. So, you know, you do really need to get those par fives every day, as many as you possibly can.
Yeah, those are very important. That's a great call as well. All right, let's talk DK here, since we already kind of hinted at the $6,900 player. But let's start at the top on this one. And this is what's really crazy is, like you said, it's not an elevated event, but it's got the big dogs. We have 5 guys over 10K, which I know, Jesse, we've been doing this for a long time. And with this new elevated schedule, these non-elevated events, we have like 2 usually. Like, yeah, it's like bad. So you got Scotty. And one thing is, it's in Texas, so you're going to get a lot of those boys showing up. That's why I like Scotty and like Burns and Spieth and company. They all show up. But 10K and above, you got Scheffler at 11.5, Tony Finau at 10.7. You mentioned him as some good history here. Big Vic Hovland at 10.6, Morikawa at 10.4, and Max Homa at 10.1. So we know Scotty Scheffler is the best player. Who else do you like in this range?
Yeah, I mean, obviously hard not to play Scotty. Tony has really good course history. He hasn't missed a cut here since 2015, finished 4th here last year, 2nd in 19, a couple other top 20s or 25 sprinkled in between. You know, the last weekend wasn't great as far as, you know, for him. He didn't shoot under par any day, but he did make the cut, finished almost last of the guys who did make the cut. Wells Fargo was okay, but, you know, the last time he kind of was in this type of field, this is a better field than Mexico, but he did beat John Rahm pretty much head-to-head there in Mexico. So he's still playing really good golf, and with the course history, I think he's definitely playable. I feel like Victor is going to win soon. You know, he keeps basically grinding out these top fives, top tens, and, you know, it's just hard not – it'd be hard for me not to play Victor Hovland this week. So Tony and Victor are the two that I like, not named Scotty Scheffler. I think Morikawa's okay. Max, I don't know where his game's at, man. It's weird.
Yeah, that's my concern. Like, we are obviously a pro-Max podcast. If Max was, like, low nines, I'd be like, okay, I could play 10-1. A, he's going to come in. No one's going to roster him. So that's like, if you want to go that angle, sure. But
yeah,
I don't know if I want to go cute right at the 10K range, when you got these studs that you feel more often than not are going to play pretty damn well. And it's funny with Scotty. That's why I made the joke, because we do it every week now. But literally, I loaded my model. He's first, and he's first in like 7 of the 9 categories I have on here. It's disgusting. Like, how
well, he's playing golf. I mean, right, all now he does is finish inside the top 10.
No, I'm not disagreeing with him. I'm just like, I just look at it, and, you know, I've had Fantasy National probably 3 years or so. I've never seen it like this often. He's like, talk about locked in. Him and Rom just like ones and twos all over the board. Yeah. But yeah, Scotty is by far the great play if you can get there. I think you can actually in this field, with it being an invitational, and 6 of 6s will be more likely to come by, unless like massive chop bombs happen. So you could pull it off. I think Finau's interesting. Vic's the one I'm with you. I'm curious his ownership after last week's finish, to be honest. He's second in my model. Like, he rates out beautifully. His around the green game is the only thing that rates out poorly on here. And he actually was really good in that nasty around the green game last weekend. But so I'm with you with Scotty, Tony, and Vic as well. Just because I'll also say about Morikawa, and we've agreed on this pretty much every time, if it comes to ball striking, which is a ball striking event, he's one of the best out there.
All
right. But man, his short game is horrific right now. It is disastrous right now. That could change at the moment's notice, obviously, and he's played well here. But I'm with you on Scotty, Tony, and Vic. It's probably Scotty, Vic, and Tony in that order. It sounds kind of like what you had as well.
Yep.
9K range. Now it gets fun. You got Spieth at 99, Burns, the defending champion, at 97, Sungjae, who just pooped himself last week at 95, Rosie at 93, Fleet's 92, a former champion, Kirk at 91, and then Siwoo at 9,000. So what do you like in this range?
I'm surprised Jordan Spieth is playing. I mean,
I'm surprised he's only 99.
Yeah, I mean, the course history is awesome, but the injury is what I'm worried about. And then coming off a really brutal week where he did play all 4 days, like, I could see if he missed the cut at the PGA, definitely play this week, and I would like him quite a bit more. But, you know, injured, it's hard to say, you know, from that angle. Now, with that being said, everybody knows that he's been injured because they fucking showed his wrist 1,000 times on TV. So, you know, he should be, hypothetically speaking, lower owned. The course history is just phenomenal. Three straight top 10 or four straight top 10s here. And that's 4-7. So 6 out of 7, he's finished inside the top 10. So 6 out of 7 last year, you know, 6 out of the 7 years past here, he's finished in the top 10. Pretty good. I do like Sungjae this week, 9,500. I played him last week. He shot 80 on fucking, I mean, apparently he went to like an international event somewhere.
Yeah, he went to an event over in Korea, I believe is where it was. Played and won. Like, it's one of those events I guess he has to go to type thing. And then like took his, you know, plane back and decided to play in a major championship.
Yeah. Well, I mean, because before the miscut, 8th, 7th, 16th, 6th for him. I mean, that's really good stretch of golf there in the last four tournaments for Sungjae. I actually played him last week because after I kind of dug in a little bit, like, I really liked him as far as his ball striking. Didn't think that he would shoot 80 on Thursday, though. Course history is mixed. 15th miscut, 10th miscut. So a little bit strange there. Rose had a great week last week. He's got really good course history. He did miss the cut here last year, but before that had made every cut since that he played in the golf tournament. As far back as I go, 2009, he hadn't played every single year, but he was 6 out of his last 6 before his miscut last year. So Rose is definitely playable. And then Tommy Fleetwood, if you talk about ball strikers, obviously Tommy's up there, made the cut last week, finished 18th, 5th at Wells Fargo, one appearance here last year, finished 35th. So I really do like Tommy Fleetwood this week.
Yeah. Spieth's an interesting one at 99. He's 5th in my model. You mentioned the course history. I think this is a lot like the Byron Nelson where he's coming because he's got obligations.
He's probably got some sponsor shit going on.
Yeah, it's a Texas thing. He's played it so long, there's obligations for Jordan Spieth.
Probably.
Just like the Byron Nelson. The thing is, if it starts to feel wonky at all, he'll bounce, just like we saw at Byron Nelson. He was never going to bounce out of the PGA unless it was bad, bad. So I'm with you on that. That's what makes it a very scary play, but at the same time could be an outstanding play because the course history and the skills. And he actually didn't play bad last weekend. All things considered, like, the score wasn't great, but again, a lot of people's scores weren't great there. Just watching him, he didn't play like a guy that's wrist was completely screwed up, let's put it that way,
right?
So I'll take that. Like, he played with Rahm and they looked almost like the same players at times, which is saying a lot.
Yeah.
So Spieth at 99 looks just fine to me. I love the Sungjae call. Like, I'm kind of bummed that we're both on him because I'm hoping more people don't have that same mindset. He was playing great, like you said, before the Korea trip to the miscut, which, well, yeah, whatever. Like, money's money. You got to do what you got to do. But I'm with you. Jumping back on that with Sungjae at $9,500. And then I love Rosie at 93. He's playing great golf right now. We saw it last week. We've seen he won Pebble earlier this year. He's just playing really, really good golf. T25 at the Heritage, T16 at the Masters. $9,300. I'll take some chances on Rosie. Yeah, and if you want Fleets, it's good. The one thing I'll mention, though, is Kirk. Ratings-wise, is not great. Like, he's 59th in my model. His driving accuracy is horrific right now over the last 24 rounds. That's kind of a bummer, but his approach game is like first in 125 to 150, if we're counting on those kind of ranges. That's important. And you mentioned the course history, T15, T69, T60, T11, his last four times here. Plus, he's obviously won here. An approach course fits Kirk very, very well. And you'll probably go a little overlooked in this range with like the likes of Spieth and him and Rose and Fleetwood. So Kirk could be a good pivot in here if you guys are choosing to do so. 8K range, Fowler at 89 after his chalk bomb last week. Russell Henley, I wake up to a text from Jesse that says, holy Fowler chalk. That's all I thought. I'm like, oh, I got to check this out. Yeah, like 25, 26, good Lord. Russell Henley at 88. Cam Davis, your boy, played great last week at 86. And McCarthy at 87, Hoagie 85, Minwoo at 84, KH Lee at 83, Harmon 82, Jaeger 81, Taylor Moore 8,000. Who are you liking in the 8K range?
Yeah, Ricky, that ownership, man, I did not see that coming at all. Obviously, it was just pricing plus the fact that he hadn't missed a cut since the Wyndham in August and had four straight top 15s coming in. So was playing really good golf and then shot 73-73, so missed it on the number. I think the cut was five, right? Five and better made it. Five.
Yep.
He couldn't putt, dude. I don't know. He's got this different putter now. You remember how like when he used to putt with that that blade, how just fucking good it looked?
Yep.
Now he's got this big old long
he's deal. Almost got the Scotty deal.
I don't like it. But whatever. I mean the results were good up until last week. He literally could not putt. He was missing everything and could not get up and down. So but I think going back to him this week is perfectly fine. He does have not great course history here. 57th last year, missed cut. But those are kind of three not very good years for him in general. When he was playing good golf, he did make the cut here at least three out of four times. So Henley, ball striker, I liked him last week, and he shot seven over for the week. And so anyways, I'll go back this week at 88. Denny McCarthy is playable at 87. Course history on and off, 27th missed cut, 66th missed cut. Coming off a 29th place finish at the PGA, though. Wells Fargo, 8th, 25th at the Heritage. So three straight good tournaments for him. Cam Davis, yeah, I mean, I wish I'd have played more of him. And obviously that 65 on Sunday helped quite a bit, you know, vault him up the leaderboard to finish 4th. But he does have good course history here. You don't really think like Cam Davis on, you know, less than driver tracks or more accuracy shacks, but he actually does do very pretty well, well at well. Places. You know, like that, like the Players is not necessarily exactly like that. The Heritage definitely is. Yep. 7th place there this year. And I think the Sony Open, yeah, he's had some success there. And that's kind of a more tree line type of place as well. So I like Cam. And then Brian Harmon got him checked off. The course history is good. Missed cut 8th, 23rd, 31st, 14th, 7th, 25th. So had made six consecutive cuts at this event before he missed the cut last year. And it does have two consecutive missed cuts on tour, but they finished 7th at the Heritage. It's on and off with him all year long, but I think that makes him a good GPP play because a lot of people will see that.
Yeah, he's been very tilting this year, unlike last year where you can't really know what's going to come from Brian Harmon. Right. But yeah, Fowler will be interesting. I'm curious to see how many people go back. I think he'll still be pretty popular at $8,900. Rates out great, like you said. Henley, like at 88. I mean, when again, another approach type player. He's 11th at 125 to 150. He's 4th in good drives, which is very important, obviously. So I like that a lot. Same with Denny. Denny's 2nd in good drives. He's 7th in par 4s, 4 to 450, which is a mainstay here. And obviously, if it turns into a putting contest, Denny's a guy you like. So yeah. You like that one. Cam Davis, yeah, you mentioned it. I've said it a few times, like Heritage and whatnot. He loves these short courses because when you look at the model, he's 107th in good drives. The thing is he doesn't need to hit his driver. So that helps out a ton. And that's why he plays these courses very well, because then he's 9th in proximity, 125 to 150. He's 21st in par 4s, 4 to 450. He can score is what it comes down to. Yeah. And he's hitting out of the fairway. And that's what he can do when the driver gets put out of the bag. So I like that Cam Davis call at 8,600. KH lead 83. He plays really well in Texas. And he's 15th in my model, 9th good drives, 10th in greens regulation. So he'll give himself plenty of chances to make some birdies. And then Jaeger Bombs is interesting. He's 9th in my model. He's 2nd in greens and regs. He's 18th in good drives. Made the cut
last week.
Yeah, he did. And he's 5th in the proximity I'm looking for. He's 26th in the par 4s I'm looking for. He's 12th off the tee, 16th around. He's just good enough in a lot of these categories. I'm just like, his putting is 96th in putting. So it's like, can you have a average
fucking putting price, though, dude. I mean, $8,100 for Jaeger.
He's creeping up. That's why he'll come in like at 3% ownership. And it's interesting. Like, let's be real. Jaeger versus Harmon. How do you feel about it?
Yeah, for sure.
So Jaeger versus Taylor Moore, even. Like,
I take Jaeger.
We're getting to that part of the field where it's just kind of it's getting a little different. So I'm not saying pile Jaeger into all your lineups, but it's one of those where if it turns into maybe a more of a minus 20 event than a minus 12 event, you want Jaeger on your side. And that wasn't the drink. That's the player. 79 to 75, Kitayama, Binion, Todd, English, Bez, Griot, JJ Spahn, Smalley, Lucas Herbert, Patrick Rogers, Ryan Fox. I forgot to mention Fox and Minwoo Lee, after last week, now have temporary exemption status with the PGA Tour. But I saw that tweet come out today. But who do you like in this range?
Griot at 7,700. Course history is good. He's made 6 out of his last 7 cuts here. A couple top 10s in there. Missed the cut last week. Shot 8 over for the – or 9 over for the week. But before that, had 3 straight top 23s, including a couple of top 10s in there. So I think he's playable. Bezenhout, I like him. Missed cut at the PGA Championship, but before that had made 4 straight cuts on the PGA Tour. So very playable, all inside the top 30 there too. I liked Ryan Fox last week. I like him again this week. He started pretty good. Didn't have a great, final 3 days, but held on enough to, finish. I mean, it's his second straight top 30 in a major, which is pretty fucking solid. So I do like Ryan Fox quite a bit at 7,500. What about your boy Patrick Rogers last week? I saw him on the coverage, and I was very surprised.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting.
I think it was like Saturday morning. I'm like, what the fuck is Patrick Rogers doing here?
Well, give ESPN credit. They showed more golf shots than most. They're probably bored on time, but he finished 29th.
Did you watch – you probably didn't, but did you watch any of the alt – broadcasts?
No, I saw clips on Twitter. I'm just like, some of it was looked okay, some of it I'm like, what are we doing here?
Well, I watched both Saturday and Sunday morning, just the no laying up stuff, just watching them. I mean, like, and they literally didn't even hardly talk about a fucking golf shot, but it's a good change of pace, especially for like, you know, Saturday, Sunday morning when you're watching guys who are
out of contention already.
Right. And they're just out there, you know, just trying to earn their paycheck. Yep. I mean, it's fun to listen to something different other than just a normal golf broadcast. I wish they would start doing that for every,
They should. They should get Pat Mayo has said he would do it. Like, let him have a separate feed on YouTube. If you
Mayo and Feinberg and
just let them talk Tim DFS Anderson and betting there while we watch golf. Like, it's the perfect storm. I think the PGA is just too scared to get too close. Like, they've embraced it because they're partners with DraftKings and all that stuff. But I think they're too scared to get too close and realize your numbers are growing because people are gambling on your sport. That's right. Why it's growing. It's not growing because people are playing more golf. I hate to break it to you.
Well, they are playing. There is a lot more people playing golf. COVID was the best thing to ever happen to golf. But yes, people are watching it more because
there you go. That's kind of probably what's going on. Whoever's actually tuning in, it's because they're gambling on your sport.
Yes. Yeah, 100%.
Especially if they're under like 50. It's because they're gambling.
Yeah.
So, something to think about for sure. And, ESPN's figured it out with, college football and stuff. It's awesome watching the other feeds. They even do it with baseball. They have, a stat cast and former player feed compared to, the Sunday night broadcast. It's freaking awesome.
It just makes sense to do it for
– for golf, 100%.
Because golf is – especially in the morning time when there's, you just got shit,
Look how good the Manning cast is. How can you not do it with golf?
Right.
Bingo. That's simple. But I'm with you. Be fun. Hopefully they do something. That'd be great. For me in this range, I think Binion is interesting at $7,900. He's coming in decent form is what I'll say for Binion. 14th of the Byron Nelson, missed cut at Wells, 33rd at the Mexico Open. So I think that's he's got something going at $7,900. Brendan Todd missed a cut at the PGA, but 8th at the Wells Fargo, 51st the Heritage. And if you're looking at just an iron approach game, driving accuracy, dude, Brendan Todd is pretty darn solid in that regard. It's not as good as he was a couple of years ago when he was winning, but still a guy that this course fits him well. I love Seabez, one of my favorite guys in this field. He's 7th in my model, 5th on approach. He's like top 20 in all 3 different ranges of proximity I got marked off. He's 26th in par 4s, 20th in good drives. He lines up beautifully for this golf course. I got Griot at 77 as well. playing really good golf. He's great in the approach game as well. That's all I got in this range. Those are the dudes I like here. 7K to 74. Who do you like in this one?
So start with Davis Riley at 7,400. Fourth here last year. Now, he has missed four straight cuts and WD'd from the Texas Open, so I don't know what exactly is going on there. But
didn't he win the partner deal?
Yeah, I just don't have that.
I know. It's not on anybody's model. I'm just thinking, I think he won that.
So he had did they win that?
I'm pretty sure it was Davis Riley. I didn't watch 1 second of it. So I
didn't either. Ryan Palmer, we're in Texas, so we play Ryan Palmer blindly. 7,200, two straight made cuts here, made three of the last four, does have a couple of top tens in his career at this golf course, coming off an eighth place finish, really solid showing at the Byron Nelson. When he didn't go, I noticed, I don't know if you saw or not, but Kevin was tilting him. I guess he started off pretty bad on Sunday at the Byron Nelson and ended up coming back playing pretty well. Bramlett at 7,100, missed cut here in his only appearance, but does have three straight made cuts on tour, including two top 20s. Justin Suh at 7,100, he was up toward the top of the leaderboard there after, I think, Friday, and ended up finishing 26 last week. Solid. He's playing really good golf. He missed the cut to Byron Nelson, but before that had made a lot of cuts in a row. So I think he's a really solid play at 7,100. And then Vincent Norman at 7,000. Two straight top 20s for the dude. That's Mexico Open, Byron Nelson. We're back in Texas. He just top 10 in Texas, $7,000. Okay. He never played here before, but
I'm kind of surprised by you. There's a guy at $7,000.
Aaron Rye. Fuck him, dude. I'm not doing it anymore. So if you play Aaron Rye this week, he will make the cut.
He's top 10 in it, folks.
What about your boy Samuel Stevens? Did they put him in the...
They didn't put him in the freaking pool, man. I was so pissed. I know he finished like T72, so it wouldn't have mattered, but...
He made the cut, though.
Yeah, I would have played his ass. He probably would have been like $6,300. Yeah,
I kept waiting for the email from DraftKings. Like, hey,
never came this out. Person...
Yeah.
And apparently we recorded Monday Tuesday. It's okay, but anything after Monday apparently doesn't work in their system. I don't know.
Bullshit.
Stupid. Yeah. Trust me. We talked about it on the show. We're like, bring it on, please.
Yeah.
Make it happen. Did not happen. I'm with you on that one. This is the range where I think if you want to eat chalk up top and then kind of like mix and match down here, this is where I don't mind doing it. There's a lot of options that I think have some upside here. Hayden Buckley at $7,300. He's 19th in my model. He's 9th in the par fours. He's 5th in good drives. He missed the cut here in his only attempt here last year, but he's coming in good form. 26th at the PGA, 43rd at Wells Fargo, 5th at the Heritage. So I think Buckley is in play. Svensson at 73, another guy that has a really strong approach game. Just kind of does everything just good enough. $7,300 to make it happen. You mentioned I like the Ryan Palmer call, obviously, because it's Texas at 72, but they can't not do that and not say Bo Hostler because it's Texas at $7,300. That's what Bo Hostler does as well. It's just proven way more often than not. 21st here last year, missed cut in 20, 40th, 64. So three of his last four cuts were made at this event. And recent form for Bo, 40th last week, 47th at Wells, 10th in Mexico, 31st at Heritage, playing some decent golf too. So Bo Hostler at 73 would be a guy. Palmer, Eric Cole played well last week. That was an interesting one at 72. He did.
Yeah.
Matt Neesmith, who we talked about, played well too.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, I saw his name. And I was like, fuck.
Yeah. He played really well. He's $7,100. So I think he's still too cheap in this field for the guy. Like, if you listen last week, we talked about the form he was coming in with. Like, he was mispriced last week in that field. Obviously, it panned out. It doesn't always pan out that way. But, I kind of feel same here at $7,100. You can probably get a little bit of advantage here with Matthew Neesmith. Joseph Bramlett at 71 is another guy. He's 3rd in greens regulation in this field, 28th overall in my model. So I don't mind him. I do like Sam Stevens. I keep riding that train until it bucks. He's 20th in my model down here at $7,100. I like the Vincent Norman call. And then last but not least, like I said, you can mix and match dudes down here. But I wanted to bring some up is Andrew Putnam. This is a great tournament play. So past history here, 15th, miscut, 3rd, 20th. So T20 in 3 of 5 years, 2 miscuts. That is a GPP play in a nutshell for you. And miscut at the PGA, withdrew at the Wells Fargo, but then 24th in Mexico, 59th at Heritage. So Putnam's a dude I think you can have some fun with as well. All right, 6K range. Michael Block, $6,900. Who else you taking?
Yeah, I'm not going to play Michael Block, dude. I mean,
he's 120th in my model. That's the last player in the field.
Let's look at this real quick. So PGA Championship finishes 15th. Every other start he's had since 2020, he missed the cut. And so looking at his stats at the PGA Championship, he hit 60% of the greens. That's okay. 62% of the fairways, okay. But his putter and his short game was just on fire.
Yep.
I mean, just pure fire. I mean, when you're making that many putts,
he was like second or something heading to Sunday.
Yeah, it's not sustainable. No, I'm not playing Michael Block.
But you guys all can. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. Play him. Hell with it. You know, make him 15% owned at $1,600. Batea at 6,700. I mean, you know, he's not going to be Block's not going to be high owned in
because of Ash game. Yeah.
Well, I mean, he might not be, but I'm just saying he's not going to be high owned in anything that's high dollar.
True.
You know, I mean,
very true.
Batea, Ekroat, Lee Hodges, and Dew are the guys that I would target down in this range. Not a huge fan of the range. You know, Ben Martin may be playable up toward the top. Nate Lashley is another guy who would at 6,900, but this is a really good field, but it's 120 players and half of them are going to cut. That 66% is going to be high. You really got to have a winner. So, I mean, if you can do it this way.
Yeah, if you can just get one guy down here that can like T20 for you, that allows you to get like two of the big dogs.
Yeah.
That's what you're looking for. Yeah. I think Ash K could do that. So I'm with you there at 67. I like Lashley with you at 69. I like Ben Martin a lot at 68. Ekro, we had a lot of the same guys, of course. I think Hubbard's interesting for tournaments because he is literally an all or nothing kind of dude. Dylan Wu's a guy I've talked about a lot because he just continues to make cuts. So he's 6,600 as another option for you. Jimmy Walker's down here, but those numbers have changed tremendously of late. Some of his, like his overall stats. So that's kind of interesting. The only other ones I wanted to bring up down here, if you just want a cut maker, like if you don't want a winner, Zach Johnson keeps making cuts. I don't know what's going on. He's $6,200 and it's a short course. He'll play probably pretty well. But the guy I want to mention, he's $6,300. And this is a great tournament play if you're looking for a T20 play, in my opinion. And that is Mr. Carson Young. Never played here. But we've talked about him a few times. They still keep him really cheaply priced. 14th you know, Byron Nelson, missed the cut
or top 20.
15th, exactly. That's my point. If you're playing $6,300, this is your dude. Yeah, this is your guy. No, like you got these other guys that are like getting like I said, ZJ, 58th, missed cut, 54th, 34th. Okay, cool. We made the cut. Carson Young will give you a top 20, which like we just said, will get you the big guys and a chance to win. That's what you're looking for. So
I agree. That's a great call, man.
Like, I don't know.
Assuming that it pans out, it's a terrible call if it doesn't pan out.
Yeah. And then you can at me at BDintric on that. It's cool. But he's been like $6,200 in each one of those tournaments and he's panned out 3 to 4 times. I'll take that every time.
Yeah.
At that pace. So
I agree.
All right. Let's recap things real quick. 10K and above, not named Scotty Scheffler.
Vic.
Yeah. I'm going to agree with you. Yeah. That sucks. But I'm going to agree with you on that one. 9K range.
I'm going to say Rose.
Well, I thought you were taking someone else. I was going to take Rose, so I'll take Sungjae. I'll take Sungjae on that one.
Well, I was going to say Sungjae, but then I was like, you know.
I think Rose has the best form in this group coming in.
Yeah.
By far. And neither one of us took or even talked about the defending champion. That says a lot.
Yeah, it's been such a weird year for Sam, man. I mean, yeah. It's not been great.
8K range.
Cam Davis.
I like that call. For me, I will go with I'll go KH Lee. There's something about this boy on these Texas courses. 75 to 79.
Ryan Fox.
Seabez. 7K to 74.
Justin Sue.
There's a lot to like down here. I'll take my bias or Sam Stevens away from this one and give you a real pick. I will take Bo Hossler, actually. I'm going to take Bo Hossler. I don't know why I'm in love with him this week, so don't play him. 6K range. Carson Young. Screw you all.
I'll say Ekroat.
Okay. You can play cash this week, but it's also tricky because it's a 120 field. So if you were starting out cash, where would you go?
Yeah, I mean, probably would get like Tommy and Rose, which leaves about 7,800. And then, that gets a little bit sketched. So let's drop Rose, Tommy, and then we'll go with not great. This is really good podcasting here. Man, I mean, that That middle range, I really don't like very much at all.
It's very GPP in the middle.
Yeah. I mean, I would say Sue is probably borderline cash. So I'm going to say 7,100 right there. So then we're back up to 85-ish. Ricky Fowler. So Fleetwood, Sue, Ricky Fowler. I don't like it. I would not play cash this week. I'll not like it.
I'll go Rose, Henley, and Cibes. That'd be my start. But the other three that go with it kind of feel Jesse's sentiments there. The GPP, we got tons of options. So what do you like in here?
Yeah. I just want to say Jordan Spieth because I think the risk is there. I think he will be low owned. You throw in somebody like Ryan Fox, and then you got your boy Sam Stevens.
I like it. I'll go Scotty Scheffler, Sungjae Im, and Carson Young.
I like that.
You can still get some decent.
How much does that leave you?
I don't know. I'm just going off of this.
All right, let's go Scotty, Sungjae, and
Carson Young. It's got to be like at least low eight.
All the way to the damn bottom. Carson Young, 7,500.
You can work with that.
Yeah. There's some guys there in that 7,500 range.
Yep. That's that range. I said you can get weird in a tournament too. So have fun with that. Sure. All right, let's have some more fun. Let's talk about winners. Scotty's 4.5 to 1 in this field. Spieth's 12 to 1. People are betting them because it's Texas. Finau at 14, Vic at 14, Colin 16, Sungjae 18, Homa 22. What do you like in this field?
Yeah, maybe Rose at 30. It really falls off the map when you get past 30. It's crazy. Like Cam Davis at 40 to 1. Do I really think he's going to win the tournament?
That's the thing. I don't think he's going to win.
He should be 60 or 70 to 1 easy. I don't like these odds.
Yeah, neither do I. Like, I'm scrolling down to see if there's a long shot I even like, and I'm like, I can't justify any of these.
Maybe Sue at 9,000 or 90 to 1. I mean, he's going to win one day. Is it going to be this week? I don't know, but. Sam Stevens at 110.
That's gutsy. I like your style, but I'd rather top.
Oh,
20.
You would.
Carson top Young 10, to top 20? Oh, let me find this out. I'm in love with Carson Young this week. It's going to end horribly.
20 to 1 to top 10.
He's 7.5 to 1 to top 20. That's not good enough odds.
It's not terrible though. Not bad. I mean,
the top 20.
Just the damn like. That they've gotten too sharp on us.
These lines are real good everywhere. Tough. Just, wow.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see what happens. Should be a fun week in Texas. And then we got another elevated event next week, which will be a lot of fun. And then you got RBCs. It's going to be a wild, wild summer in golf. Any final thoughts for the Colonials, what I'm going to call it?
I don't. Good luck.
Yep. Hope you guys have a good one. If you have any questions, we're on Twitter at DFS Golf Gods for Jesse. I'm on Twitter at BDNTrick, the podcast at Always Press DFS. We'll be back with you guys next week. But for now, this is your 2023 Charles Schwab Challenge at the Colonial Country Club preview. Catch you all next time.